Good evening and welcome to Crime Wire, the place for information, news, and most importantly, justice. Our interactive website is www.crimewiresite.com. You can call at any time during the show by dialing 646-478-0982. And remember, you can participate in tonight's show simply by going to the live interactive chat room here on Blog Talk Radio. If you are a friend or family member and would like to send Crime Wire information on an unsolved or suspicious death case, or have a specific crime-related topic you'd like to have discussed on a future show, email us at thecrimewire@gmail.com. Kim Colton is manning the switchboard tonight. Hiya, Kim.
Hi, Danny. How are you?
Good, good. Great to be back with you.
It is.
And before we get started tonight, we got two special guests that want to talk to us for a few minutes about a major event coming up in Las Vegas. And I'd like to welcome our friends from Citizens Against Homicide, Gene and Aaron Cervantes. Welcome.
Hi, Denny. Thank you.
Thank you, Denny.
Go ahead, Gene and Aaron. Tell us what you got in the oven here.
Well, Denny, we have our very first annual Victim Awareness Conference that will be held at the Monte Carlo Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, April 12th and 13th. So we're very excited. Probably the entertainment highlight of this event will be the keynote presentation / performance, if you will, by none other than Bill Cosby himself. So we're extremely excited.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That is a major, certainly name personality that you have for your keynote. And it's not just that he is unfamiliar with the topic. He actually lost his son, am I correct?
Correct. He lost his son, Ennis, in the mid-90s, I want to say, in Los Angeles, California. It was a robbery. And I believe on the side of a freeway, I don't recall every detail, but he is no stranger to being a victim.
Well, congratulations on getting Mr. Cosby. And tell us a little more if people are interested in, well, first of all, who should attend this conference and how would they go about getting more information about it?
I would encourage any family member of a murder victim to attend first and foremost, because I think that the criminal justice system and the processes therein are very confusing, overwhelming, daunting to say the least, and we're very optimistic that the information that we'll be providing at the conference will help people better navigate that journey. I would also encourage law enforcement personnel, other victim advocates, district attorneys, and educational entities also. I think that victim advocacy is sort of becoming overshadowed by inmate rights and inmate advocates. And it's just something that I'm kind of at a loss for words a little bit as far as how the scales are being tipped. But I think if they saw the need that is there for victim advocacy, encouraging people to get involved.
It's something, and I remember when you first told me the Citizens Against Homicide plan to put this conference together, I was wondering, how it would do. It seems like it's just been a few days. I know it's been a lot longer than that, but everything's gelled up, and it's really something that's really, I'm excited for you.
We are. Yeah, thank you for that.
Gene, this has been, a while. I don't remember the exact number of months in the making and putting everything together. What kind of response are you getting from others that are involved with Citizens Against Homicide? I don't mean the board, but I mean people whose cases you have done? Are you getting any feedback from them and the idea of having such a conference?
Well, we are, Denny, and we, if you recall, it was, I believe it was October, first part of November of 2011 when we first started the planning process. And so it's been quite a while, and we're getting a good response. I mean, the comments that we're receiving are very, very positive, particularly when we talk about the panel. I'm sorry, not panels, the guest speakers.
Can I try some of these?
And, pardon me? Okay, well, anyway, the guest speakers that we have lined up and the subject matter. Aaron can talk more about the lineup. Aaron?
Okay. Well, we have several that are exciting, and it's just not exciting because it's an entertaining subject by any stretch, but it's more controversial, some of them. We have the chief deputy district attorney, sorry, from Yolo County, California, which is west, northwest of Sacramento. And he's going to be joined by the mother of a murder victim, as well as the then prosecuting attorney of Clarence Ray Allen. And that prosecuting attorney is now a retired judge. That is going to be the only panel discussion that we have for the conference panel setup. And they're going to be discussing the death penalty. And I think what's important with that is our agenda as far as the death penalty is concerned is to present all of the facets that are associated with it. It's not just one-dimensional or even two-dimensional. It's multidimensional. And we want to be able to present those dimensions to our audience so that they're able to then develop their own opinions about the death penalty and an educated opinion about the death penalty and not one that's been influenced by the media or politics. So we're very, very excited about that presentation. We also have a presentation that will be given by Cherry Simpson, and she'll be joined with by one of our victim advocates from Citizens Against Homicide, Angela Gillum. And they're going to be talking about the dangers that are associated with domestic violence and how it's not necessarily limited to verbal, mental, and physical. All of those things combined could lead to a lethal end. So we have a very powerful video that we owe so much gratitude to San Joaquin County District Attorney's Office for allowing us to show that video to our attendees. We're also going to be joined by Bill Sullivan, who is a medical examiner from New York, and he's going to be discussing the issues facing our country relevant to medical examiners and some probably shocking stories, shocking truths of things that have been going on in the nation. And then we also have Jill Spriggs, who is working out of the crime lab in Sacramento County, and that's associated with the Sacramento County District Attorney's Office. And she's going to talk about how the crime lab helps solve crimes. I think that we're so heavily influenced by what we see on CSI New York, and crimes are solved in that 60-minute episode. And there's a whole lot more to it, and she's going to share that with our attendees. And then we also have, I thought that there is a need for people that want to get involved in affect policy change that just don't know how. We're going to also have a presentation from the chief deputy district, one of the chief deputy district attorneys from Los Angeles County, that will be talking about lobbying and how critical that is in affecting policy change. So that that pretty much sums up our presentations. It's packed. It's from the beginning to the end, it's packed with information. So we're very excited about these topics.
And, you have a very
fantastic,
impressive list of speakers and the agenda, obviously, and it's all needed. I mean, there's a real lack of information out there, so this sounds like a wonderful opportunity for people to be able to learn a little bit about the system and the advocacy and so forth. Now, if someone is interested and wants more information or would like to sign up or register for the conference, where do they go? Who do they contact?
Well, we've simplified that to the best of our ability. You can access our registration information and form on our website, which is citizensagainsthomicide.org. And there you can find a little bit more elaborate detail on what our conference entails. We also have a link to sponsorship opportunities as well that range anywhere from $20,000 all the way down to a $200 memorial sponsor. But also on this, through our website, is a link to online registration. And through that link, we have a PayPal option to register there. We were also afforded excellent room rates by the Monte Carlo. So we have that access code also available on our website.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you, Jean and Aaron, so much for calling in. I look forward to the conference.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
It's always wonderful to talk to you.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, guys, and good luck. Well, I'll be seeing you. I'll be here in Vegas, so I'll look forward to seeing you then.
Sounds good, Denny. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that's going to be a much needed and I'm sure a great conference they're going to have. So anybody, if you like what you heard or have any interest, please check out their website and see what else is involved, and maybe it's something you can make. Now, tonight, CrimeWire welcomes back psychic medium Karen Storstein. Karen is known for her rare combination of talents as a psychic medium, psychotherapist, executive coach, management consultant, and public speaker. On radio, she's known for providing Karen's insights to callers around the world and has taught thousands of leaders and the general public how to heighten their intuitive intelligence. Ms. Storstein has worked in the fields of human and organizational development for 25 years, and her work as a psychic is grounded in neuroscience, quantum physics, and psychology. Karen possesses a Master of Science in Management and Organization, Master's Minor in Finance, and has completed all coursework toward a Master of Arts in Psychology. People from all walks of life, including grieving families, law enforcement officials, executives, medical and mental health professionals, and individuals experiencing anxiety and depression seek Karen's counsel and intuitive acumen to find clarity and peace of mind. She has found missing people, helped solve crimes, saved and helped grow businesses, and provided insights and loving support to improve relationships, careers, health, and personal well-being. One of her greatest talents is connecting the living to loved ones who have passed. Her clients find that this helps them gain resolution, heal, and have faith that the soul lives on. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Denny. I'm glad to be on, and thanks, Kim, for having me as well. Hello, wonderful listening people.
Before we get started, what did you think of the conference that Jean and Aaron Cervantes talked about?
Well, I thought, why don't I have my ticket lined up for Vegas and my room reservation at the Monte Carlo? I thought, well, wait a minute.
Hi.
How come I'm not on the speaking list?
Is this Fred and Pam?
I'm sorry, what?
Before we get going, Karen, can you tell us just a little bit or tell the audience and refresh my memory about exactly what it is a psychic medium does?
Well, you know, it depends how you apply that, right? So I help people who have questions and who are trying to get clarity about any subject. And so a lot of times those subjects relate to relationships. It can relate to finances. It can relate to trials. what we're doing tonight with suspicious crimes or homicide cases, careers. So basically what I do is I raise my energy very, very high as a medium, and the spirit world and the divine, or the spirit world, lowers theirs, and I'm like, it's like a radio wave where we have a resonance where we're operating at the same frequency. And so as a medium, I tune in to hear and see and feel and sometimes smell even messages from the other side. And so this definitely can help, you know, when we've lost, when a person's lost a loved one, to find clarity and peace of mind. And then as a psychic, I do a lot also in business. I'm telepathic. And actually, we all are. We all can do this. So as a telepath, I am able to tune in to what someone might be thinking or what they're feeling. And I always come from a place of love and empathy. I'm an empath because, you know, love is really of the highest vibration and energy, and we're all just, we're consciousness and we're energy, and on planet Earth we happen to have bodies. But I know a lot of times people are thinking, you know, this lady must be wacko. Like, what does she mean she's a psychic medium? but if you understand, I've done a lot of research over the last 12 years to understand how this works and learned a little bit about quantum physics and neuroscience, and there's definitely a psychology to it. But you know, we all have intuitive experiences, and intuition and psychic ability are on the same plane, same continuum. It's just that psychic ability is turned up a little bit higher.
Okay, Karen's going to do live readings tonight of people whose loved ones were victims of homicides or died under suspicious circumstances or possibly missing persons. And before we take the first caller, I just want to emphasize that in the interest of protecting the integrity of any investigation and the safety of the families of the victims, Karen will not divulge the names of any suspects she obtains during her readings on the air. That information will be given to the family and or law enforcement privately. So
yes.
If Karen asks to speak or make some arrangements to speak with a caller privately, that will all be done off air, and Karen will not divulge that information publicly. Okay, and the other thing is, while Karen is doing her reading and gathering her information, I may, during that time, ask a question myself of the caller or make a comment, so please don't think I'm being rude to Karen or the caller, but it takes her a little bit of time to get her thoughts organized and make her connections with the other side and her contacts. So if that's going on, I may butt in and ask something that's on my mind. Okay,
that would be great. And I just wanted to chime in addition to that, just for the listening audience. It's sort of like it's like I'm an interpreter, and so when I'm silent, I'm typically asking the other side a question or asking a question to somebody here on planet Earth, and then I'm listening to the answer and getting it in my mind. So that's what my silence is. Just for a little bit
more information. Okay, thank you for the clarification. Kim, do we have anyone who would like to talk to Karen?
Yes, we do. First up tonight is Rita. And welcome, Rita, to Crime Wire.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Well, thank you for the invitation. And hi, Denny. It's been a long time since I've talked to you. And hello, Karen.
Yes, Rita. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. And what would you like to ask Karen tonight? What situation is it you'd like information about?
Well, the situation that it's always been, it's about my brother, Sean.
And what? Sean is deceased?
Yes.
And when did that happen?
November of 2000.
Okay, Karen. So Rita wants information, any information you can get about the death of her brother, Sean, in 2000.
Rita, Excuse me, Karen, are you there?
I am. You know, the call went fuzzy, and then the call I was hung up on. So I just called back. So I'm sorry, I missed that, Rita.
Rita.
Okay,
please,
because that happened to me earlier when I was still listening. The phone went completely haywire, and I was like, "Oh no, I'm gonna have to hang up and call back." So that it happened to you. My question is about my brother Sean. He is deceased. He died in November of 2000. And I don't know what else you need.
Okay.
Rita, are your computer speakers turned off?
My computer isn't even on. I'm on a plugged-in landline into the wall.
Okay, Karen, your computer speaker's off?
Yes, they are. I'm hearing a lot of
anybody who's
an echo going.
Right, there's an echo going on. Somebody has their computer speakers on who's called in. So please turn your computer speakers off. You can hear the show through the phone. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. Please turn
your computer speakers off. Okay, that's okay. I'm just going to try and let go of that outer noise so I can hear Sean. Okay, that's okay. I'm just
Okay, I think.
Rita.
Yes, ma'am.
Rita.
Yes.
So I just tell you whatever I get, and so the first thing, and you might on planet Earth, you might say, "Oh no, this isn't true." But the first thing Sean is saying to me is that you're holding some hostility towards him, and maybe this is just the anger around his death, but I just tell you what I get, and then I ask more questions, so hold on.
Okay.
It's because you need him, and he's saying that he left you.
But I have forgiven him. And severely recently, so I mean, he must just not have heard me. Well, I mean,
fairly recently. Mm-hmm. So
I mean that where I actually made sort of because somebody told me that I needed to do it. So it's been in the last 30 days that there was, but I mean, it's never been at him.
No, I know, and I understand that. What he said though is that I think that's his way of just telling you that he knows how you've been feeling. And when I asked why you held hostility, he said, well, because you need him and he's gone. So it's not like you blame him. I'm just that you're angry about the situation.
Yeah, that's true.
Let me see what else I get. You know, he's telling me, he's saying you found yourself, though, and in a very good way. So it's sort of like thinking that you need him more than you may, that you've come into your own, and he's really happy about that. And you know what? It's sort of like when I'm tuning into the other side, I'm kind of like an investigator, too, so I can just let him say whatever he wants to say, and it may not have anything to do with his death. Or if you have some specific questions, I can ask him more specific questions too. So, but it's kind of like, you know, we have so much time, only so much time. So I want to focus on what you really want to focus on.
Everything you're saying is true, and I can see him avoiding the issue. The bottom line is, I want to know what happened. There's a 5 million questions that surround his death that don't definitively give us an answer. And it's like he dances all the way around the question. He knows what the question is. So I just stop messing around and answer you.
Well,
Rita,
okay. Let me ask Rita. See, you know what? This is like a little bit of the hostility coming forward, Rita.
It's not really, though.
No,
it's
I know.
Tell him
no,
if you
I
can't handle
Rita.
It.
I know, I'm fooling around with you a little bit. Let me see what he wants to say, and then I'm going to share something interesting that happened with another case I worked on. So hold on, let me
okay.
see why he's dancing around it.
Thank you.
Rita, I just love that. You know, I love you so much. And
I love you too.
He's saying he's sugarcoating it a little bit because he doesn't want you to be hurt by it.
Tell him the not knowing is killing me. Knowing would start healing me.
Okay, let me see if I can get into this a little bit. He's saying I fried, and this can be a metaphor. Sometimes I get things in metaphor, so when I do this, I want you to keep a big open mind, okay?
Certainly.
He's saying he fried his brain.
Yep.
And I know, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does in a couple different ways, but.
But you know what, Rita, I feel like he feels responsible for this, like he's saying he hurt himself. That's how he's seen this.
Oh, Rita.
Okay. Ask him if he was alone or who was with him, please.
Okay, I don't know why I'm getting this, so I'll go back to your question. He's saying I have Scotch Guard around me. Scotch Guard's about protection, right?
Yeah, he thought he was Teflon. He was an ex-Marine. He egged this on. Tell him I know he egged this on.
Oh, okay. He's laughing a little bit about that one.
Because he knows I know him. I'm 11 years older than him. I pretty much raised him, sort of, kind of.
Well, and you know, and that's one of the reasons he's worried about hurting you, because without age difference, it's almost like you're a mother figure rather than a peer, and he doesn't want to disappoint you. But let me get to the question that you asked about, was he alone? Yes, I do get that he was alone, and but he's also saying that he was in a situation where he was being used.
Yeah, oh, yeah, 100%.
100%.
100%.
Yeah.
And has been basically since he died. I mean, it carried over into his death too. So. I think
he's
protecting me.
Go ahead.
Honest to goodness, the feeling I'm getting right now is he's not being truthful, because if he is honest, he thinks I'm going to go after the people, and I know that the people are dangerous, and he thinks I'm going to get hurt. He thinks he's protecting me. That's how this feels right now.
Yeah, and he's, by the way, he's saying you are the apple of his eye.
And he mine.
Let me just see what I get about that one, about protecting and all that. And by the way, I had another case that I was trying to solve, and it was so interesting because I was having a really hard time trying to get at, you know, what actually happened. And then I figured it out, but I realized it was because the person, to your point, did not want the family to know what happened to him, because he was
mm-hmm.
trying to protect the family. So there's
mm-hmm.
good reasons sometimes, but let me see if he agrees with that, what you're saying. Hold on.
Okay.
He's being funny. He's saying, I'm worried I'm going to be killed again.
Tell him yes, by his oldest sister.
Yeah. Oh, that is so
I hope there's substance in the afterlife because he is going to get this crap smacked right out of him.
You know what I find is that I know this sounds so bizarre, but what I find is that the afterlife, they're at such a higher place of consciousness than we are, and they're so much more brilliant than we are that they can tend to be really funny. But let me actually.
No, he always was, and if he doesn't tell you the truth right now, I'm going to tell a story on him about underwear.
Well, and I
seriously,
I
ask him. That was his superhero persona. When he was like 8, he would jump down the stairs and he would have underwear on and a cape and go, underwear.
Oh my gosh. See, I think he's worried
about it. He's always been funny. He's always been a character. He didn't just develop that after death.
Let me ask him the question about if he's really afraid about you going after the family. So hold on, or the people. Hold on.
Okay.
So you have a pretty solid idea, at least in your own mind, of what went down, right?
Yes, I do.
He is saying clearly he does not think that you should go after the people involved, and he's saying it will kill you. And I don't necessarily mean that literally, but let me ask him why he's saying that. Hold on. He's saying it would numb you. It would, the whole thing, it would numb you. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm getting that they would get away with it anyway.
And that could very well be.
And then you would be, and I know that's so hard to do, and of course I would never, that's totally, you have to decide how you want to spend your time and everything, so I honor any decision you make.
This last two years, I kind of threw it open and just said whatever, and I have let it go. He was telling you truths about where I'm at and where I've come through and whatever, and I'm not stupid enough to go after these people. Look what happened to him.
Right. And, you know, and the fact that I got it will kill you, I mean, those are pretty strong words, and it may be, metaphorical, but, I don't know if that's too smart for you. Either way, because you're here to be alive, and your brother wants you to enjoy life and not spend it, tracking them down. And by the way, he's having a great time right now. He's like playing around right now. I'm sorry. Did someone say something?
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
He's for some reason is giving you some money to play with. Hello? Did we lose Rita?
Oh God, I hope not. Rita?
Yeah, apparently
lost Rita. Let's move on to Fred and Pam, and let's see if they're still here. Hello, Fred, Pam, are you still online?
Yes, this is Pam.
Hi, Pam. Welcome to Crime Wire. Karen, this is Pam.
Hi, Pam.
And Pam.
Hi.
Good to meet you. And Fred, too?
No, just me.
Oh, okay.
Great, Pam. Welcome to the show. And what type of information would you like Karen to try to get for you this evening?
I have a few questions.
Regard to what's a death?
Yes.
Okay, and who was the deceased, and what relationship to you?
My 16-year-old daughter.
Oh. Okay, and when did this happen?
3.5 years ago.
Okay, what was your daughter's name?
Hillary.
Okay, Karen, can you start with that and then go from there?
Yeah, and her name is Hillary, is that right?
No, Hillary.
Oh, Hillary.
Hillary.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that, Pam. And, of course, I'm so sorry about your loss. How devastating for you. Okay, let's see. Boy, the first thing that she's saying to me, Pam, is I should be ashamed of myself. Let me see why I'm getting that. I was busting loose. I was busting loose. I didn't have myself squared away.
Does that make any sense, Pam?
No, I didn't quite hear everything she said.
It may not make sense to you. I was saying that for some reason she's feeling ashamed by it, so I was kind of tuning into that. And she's saying, she was ashamed. She's saying I was busting loose and I wasn't squared away. So I was trying to see if I could get more information on that. Just hold on a
second. She was busting loose?
Yeah, busting loose is what she's saying.
It makes sense.
That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay, so let me just, I give you a piece of information, then I go back and I talk to her, but I want to give it to you before I lose it, okay? So hold on.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Pam, for calling in.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We'll see what...
I'm sorry. She's saying my mom wanted me to be a good girl and I lost control of my body.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's saying, no, I was treated like, not by you, but I was treated by like spam.
I don't get it.
Wow, this is interesting. She's saying and this could be a metaphor too, but I'm hearing her say my hair caught on fire. So I don't know if that's like her hair being on, like metaphorical, like my hair is on fire.
The person that killed her burnt her things, so maybe some of her hair was in it.
Oh, okay. Okay, so they really did burn her things. Okay. I'm so sorry. Can you feel your daughter, Pam? If you could see my arm hairs, I've got, like, they're all on end right now. Her energy is so strong.
We've gotten that from everyone. I could always feel her.
Gosh, bless your heart. And, you know, with losing control of her body, is it possible, too, that she was sexually assaulted? Do you know anything about that?
Yes.
Yes, she was?
Yes.
You know, she's saying something funny now to you. She's saying, my mom mimics me all the time, and I love it when she does that.
I do.
Do you know what she's talking about?
Yeah. She was
so
just
sweet.
Always so crazy.
What do you feel like you have some unanswered questions? Because I want to use your time wisely, you know, with respect to what you really need answered that you feel like you don't have answered. Or it could be just connecting with her, which is great, too.
Okay. Was it just one person that did that to her?
Okay. No, Pam, I feel like it was a group, like three or four.
Really?
Yes.
And were they all related to her?
She's saying they were indigent miners. Indigent, you know, that can mean that they were poor, literally poor, or indigent in the heart and head. And did they know her? Is that what you asked?
No, were they related to her?
Oh, okay. I think one was, but the others weren't.
The guy that killed her, did his family know?
They were, I think that they were not able to see it, like sort of in denial about it. And then Hillary saying it was sort of like they were saying, so what?
Yeah.
Like not even taking it seriously, which I know is disgusting, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, they behaved very disgusting. Very cruel, his family. Why is it that only one guy was charged with killing her?
The other three ran from the police, nowhere to be found.
Okay, are they from around here? Because the guy that killed her always says that he acted alone.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that one other is there, but the other is not. The other two are not.
Okay, one guy is in jail, but the other two are not.
I think that there's another person who was involved who resides there, and then the other two, one or two, are not there.
Okay, because one guy is in jail.
Karen?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I got that. Uh-huh. Yes?
Karen, can I interrupt just a second? I just want to make sure I'm understanding this. So what Hillary is telling you is that there's one guy in jail. In addition to him, another one of the assailants is still in the area, residing in the area where this took place, and the other one or two have left the area. Is that kind of, am I hearing that right?
I believe so. Let me just go back to her. That's what I said. Let me go back to confirm. I think that's correct.
So another one of the attackers, apparently, if we're getting this right, is still hanging around or living in the area it took place, plus the guy that's already in jail.
Or would it
right.
be would it be people that helped hide the evidence of the crime?
Okay, rather than just being there on the scene,
well,
you mean?
Yeah, because we believe that the person's father helped hide the evidence or...
The person's father, did you say?
Yeah, that would have been Hillary's uncle.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, let me look at that. You know, and I'm also getting that I'm getting that they were friends, but I'll look into the uncle, and only one related to her, as I said, and they were drunk when they did it. So let me see what I get. So the question is about her uncle helping to hide the evidence, right?
Yes.
Okay. I have an answer for you on that, but I think I should do that one offline.
Okay.
Do you know how to contact Karen, Pam? Do you know her phone number or email?
Whose phone number?
Karen, she wants to give you the information off air. Do you
okay,
know how to
I
reach her?
I only have the number for the radio station.
Okay,
no.
Pam, I will. Let me give it to people in case they want to get a hold of me. So my phone number is 303-506-6745.
I have to go get a pen.
Oh, that's okay. We'll get it to you later. And for the listeners, my website is karensinsight.com. And people can always get a hold of me through that website, karensinsight.com. So
I just put it in the chat room.
Okay. I have a pen now.
Okay. Go ahead, Karen.
It's 303-506-6745.
Okay, that's 303-506-6745.
That's right.
And okay,
when
so
do
Pam,
I
if you'll
call?
Please give Karen a call, tomorrow or whenever, and she will share with you then privately this other information she got.
Okay, would it be better for me to call her tomorrow again?
You can try. We'll schedule a time. So try, and I'll get right back to you, and we'll if I can take the call right then, I'll take it, and if not, we'll schedule a time.
Okay, I'll call back tomorrow.
Okay?
Okay.
All
thank
right.
You.
Okay, bless your
thank
heart,
you.
Pam. Hillary loves you.
I love her, too.
Thank you,
Pam.
Let me just break in here for a second before we take the next call. I can see that we're not going to get to everybody. We only have about 10 minutes or so left. What I would do, Karen, is ask, will you be able to do your next show with us on February 26th?
Yes, I believe so. I'm speaking at an event here. Yeah, I will. Absolutely, I will. My event
okay,
will be
over.
Okay,
what I was thinking, because we an hour doesn't seem to be enough, would you be open for maybe a 90-minute show?
Sure. Yeah, you bet.
I was just thinking, we'll try that. And, Kim, if you're able to get the contact information for the folks that we don't get to tonight, maybe we could make sure they get first priority on the 26th of February.
Mm-hmm. And again, you
yes.
know, people can reach me. People can reach me offline too for a private session, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Our next caller, can we go? Denny, are you okay?
Yeah, go ahead, Kim.
Okay, our next caller is Beth. And let me just see here. We have her sister online also, Dawn. So, Beth, please.
Hi, Karen.
PrimeWire.
Hi.
Hi, Beth. Hi, Dawn.
Hello.
I might as well hang up so we don't keep getting bills.
We were calling about our sister who died in August of 2009. A kind of suspicious death, and we're just trying to find out if you could get us any information from her. Her name is Wendy.
Okay. Wendy. Okay. All right. Let me see here. She's being funny. She's saying you guys ridiculed her when you guys were little, and she's saying boo-hoo. She's funny.
Sounds right.
I was going to say, ridicule us? No.
Fine ridicule.
One of you, I'll get to the suspicious death, but she's telling me one of you needs to get your hair done.
Listen, I just did it yesterday.
Oh, gosh, that must be me.
Well, the first thing she's saying is I want to make sure that you two know that I'm all right. I'm scathed, but I'm not dead, she's saying.
She's what?
I'm scathed, but I'm not dead. That's what she's saying.
Okay.
You know, it's so funny. It's like, and I will definitely go and ask the serious question that you asked, but she's just wanting to be fun with you right now, and she's saying, we really party together, and I had so much fun doing that with you guys. Like in a fun way. She's coming in so bubbly.
Yeah, that's her.
I just love her. I feel like if I had a party, she would be like one of the people that would be the life of the party, and everybody would just love her and know who she was and just think she's a great character.
Oh yeah. That's right.
Well, she's saying when she died, she's saying, I was absent from myself when I died. She's saying, I was taken away. A car engine took me.
Car engine.
Yeah, and I don't know. Again, it's strange because a lot of times I get things sort of in metaphor. Or it can be literal. I don't know why she's saying car engine, but or maybe it's a car with a big engine.
There were some anesthetics involved. I don't know if that, you know, I'm
there was what involved?
Anesthetics. So I was wondering, you know, if it was something to do with that, you know, like CO2 or...
Okay, because when she said I was away from myself when I died, so that could be the anesthesia, you mean?
Yeah.
I see. Okay, so that makes sense, like she was out of it.
Yeah.
She's saying, and I don't know, she's saying, and I hope this isn't just too straightforward, but she's saying, I was murdered, plain and simple.
Oh. Okay. All right.
I missed that.
I get it.
I didn't even hear what she said. I had children come into my room.
She said,
I
was murdered, pure and simple.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm so sorry to deliver such straightforward news, but it sounds like that's why you're calling.
Well, that was our assumption.
Okay.
I mean, not our assumption, but that's where all paths lead to.
Can you ask her if she was alone? Probably not if she was murdered.
This is really bizarre, and it may not make any sense to you, and it may be a metaphor, but she's saying a call girl did it, and I don't think that that's literal, like a call girl did it.
Uh-huh.
Has anybody thought of, I don't know if I should say this, but about the boyfriend being involved?
Yeah.
Boyfriend,
yeah.
And multiple other,
yes,
girlfriends he had?
And there were other girlfriends.
Sorry.
Okay, the multiple girlfriends he had. Okay, because then maybe that call girl is like a metaphor for someone, you know, who's kind of loose.
So can you ask, like, if it was a woman, I'm assuming that's what that means?
Yeah, that she was involved. Let me see. Hold on. I actually think it was a woman who did it, but I do think her boyfriend was awake, I'm hearing.
Was awake?
Yes, that her boyfriend was awake, like aware of it.
Okay.
Aware, knowledgeable.
Aware. Well, what I got was awake, and one thing I should say for anybody who's listening is, you know, the psychic world, I'll usually get the right information, but my interpretation can be incorrect because I'm a human being. Wow. Do you know anything about a nurse being involved?
Yeah. Yes. The whole circle was nurses and doctors.
Okay.
So this person was a nurse?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that rules a few people out.
Was it a nurse friend of hers?
Let me see. No, not a friend, but I think she knew her because she's saying I hated the BITCH.
Okay.
We can't say names.
Oh. Nope.
not a friend, but you knew her.
Yes. Uh-huh. Let me see why. Should I ask why this woman would do that or if it was, should I ask why?
Sure.
Yeah.
She was an errand runner. She couldn't find her own house keys. And when I get that, like, she didn't know how to get into her own home. That's so interesting in an errand runner. So errand runner, I mean, maybe that has to do with drugs, like running drugs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's also this jealousy thing, I think, about being, you know, wanting to be in a relationship with Wendy's boyfriend.
Okay.
And jealousy and, like, not having keys to get in her own home. You know what I mean? Like, not being at peace in her own place.
Okay.
Does this make any sense?
Yeah.
Great. So.
It does. It does make sense.
So are we kind of narrowing it down a little bit for you guys?
Yeah. Does she?
Go ahead.
I have one really big question. And it's how does she want the truth to come out? That's my biggest question.
She's saying, hell no, it will explode my family and friends. Let me see why. Because it'll make them sorry for me, and I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me.
I don't feel sorry for her. Okay.
Wow, and I, that relationship, I feel like with her boyfriend, I feel like she feels like he wanted her, I mean, I hate to say this, but like he wanted her dead.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about that?
It was, yeah, there was some trouble, apparently, that we didn't know about until after the death.
Go ahead.
And the boyfriend had actually been in the home after she died. We do know that, but hadn't reported it. So we know of that for sure.
Okay. Well, I am so sorry. Wendy is in such a fabulous place, and she's saying, don't feel sorry for me. She feels bad for you guys that, she can only party in spirit. But but I think we're starting to get to the end of the show. But, you know, of course, you guys can call me offline for more information and, you know, to have more of an exchange with Wendy. I just love her. She's just fabulous.
I would love to do that.
I would, too.
Yeah, we're out of time. We've stopped the live stream. We're still recording. Anybody who listens to the archive show will hear this portion. But we did stop the live stream, and we had a few callers left. Kim, do you know how to contact the other callers we didn't get to today?
Yes, I do, and we will. And we will get to them, and, gosh, what a great show. I'm just...
Yeah, what we'll do is we'll
Dawn,
wrap it up here. Lady,
thank you
so much for calling in, and I hope... I hope Karen was able to help you either confirm some things
you
thought or maybe give you some new information.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to our Director of Research, Kim Colton, our Public Relations Team at ImaginePublicity.com. Our next show will be Tuesday, February 5th at 7 p.m. Eastern. Tune in as we continue to analyze cases that wreak havoc on families looking for answers and seeking justice and discuss crime-related topics with the experts. To hear a rebroadcast of tonight's show, go to www.crimewire.blogspot.com. Turn on the volume at your computer, and the show will automatically play. And we'll have Karen back on again on February 26th, and hopefully we'll be able to do a little bit longer show, maybe 90 minutes that time, to see if we can get more calls in. Until then, God bless and stay safe. Thanks, everybody. Thank you very much, Karen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless everyone. Okay,
right,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.